The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Mairead Farrell, who absolutely ripped home in Galway West. She is a Sinn Féin TD and re-elected spokesperson on public expenditure, infrastructure and public service reform and digitalisation. I suppose matching Jack Chambers. And in Pat's chair, Claire Scott, political correspondent with the Sunday Times. So a busy week in politics. I suppose we really have to start with the mess over college fees, insofar as that, like, I had Pascal sitting where Mairead is yesterday saying, look, we'll make a decision on the budget about this. Cost of living package is gone. I get that now. It seemed to me an awful lot of conclusion with no clear answer insofar as it's going to be $2,000. Could it be amended? Is it going to be $3,000? Like, it just seems a bit of an own goal. Is that unfair?
Well, I don't think it is. I think it's been quite useful we had the discussion this week because obviously students and parents are deciding what they're going to be doing in September. And the programme for government is very clear that we want a downward direction on around student fees. And so the mechanics of that really just is what needs to be worked out. And I'm certainly committed to that we retain the €1,000 reduction that we already have there. And I'm looking forward to the minister including that in one of the options. In his options paper, as you know, as part of the budgetary process, the minister puts together an options paper and then there's a bit of haggling around that. So that's really what I'm asking
for. Why would he go on the This Week programme, the minister, line minister responsible, and say, oh, by the way, part of the removal of the cost of living package is the three grand is going to be restored from $2,000. Like, why say that if actually there's no decision on where fees are going to land? Why would you do it?
Well, I think that's where this discussion this week has been quite useful. And that's that cost of living package. And nobody really is interested in the mechanics of, you know, how I got a discount last year versus how I might get a discount this year. But the downward direction on fees is something that Fine Gael is committed to, that I'm committed to.
Yeah, I get that. I get that over time. But just say now, I have a college enrolling at TUS or, you know, Technical University Shannon, and it's rolling in mid-September. What am I going to be charged for the academic year? Because the budget isn't until mid-October.
Yes, and that's where I'm saying what I'm calling on the minister is to ensure that this is included and it's one of his options going forward as part of that budgetary process, is that he specifically looks for this deduction.
But I won't know, is my point, really. Mairead, what's your take on it?
Look, I mean, to be honest, if anything, this has caused huge confusion and concern for parents as well as for students. And I have had parents coming to me saying, typical, my kid has just finished Leaving Cert, going into college next year in Galway and going to see a hike up in student fees. That's what people are thinking at this moment in time. Because as you said, that's basically what the minister, the line minister, has said. So we've been trying to get a response from government on this. Ask them specifically the question, what is going to happen? And they can't give that clarity. And that causes huge concern for students and for their families. And I used to be the spokesperson for Further and Higher Education when Simon Harris was the minister at the time. And he consistently said that he wanted to reduce fees and he was going to get rid of fees, right? But that's not what happened. That's not what is happening at the moment. Like, I mean, we have a situation whereby it might be in a programme for government commitment, but it isn't. Doesn't seem to be something that the government is delivering on. When we have a situation whereby the line minister is actually...
So what's Sinn Féin's policy?
Well, our policy is to reduce fees and get rid of them over a three-year period. So we've always had that. We have put that forward in budget after budget after budget. And what I had raised, every time I raised this with Simon Harris when he was the minister, I said, the issue here is that you're not talking about reducing it consistently and, you know, forever. What you are talking about is doing a once-off, and this causes an issue of confusion and concern for parents.
Mairead, the playbook of Piers Doherty is free water, and we're having problems with water, free no LPT, local property tax, free student fees. I mean, like, it costs over 100,000 on average. 4.5 billion is the budget of Further and Higher Education. Like, there is no such thing as free education, is there?
Oh, well, when it comes to third level education, absolutely not. It's not free education. Like, I mean, if you take a look at the student fees that I know they call it a contribution charge, but it's fees by any other name. If you aren't lucky enough to have a college close by you and you have to go and pay for student accommodation, it's extremely expensive.
But is it credible for a political party to say we'd get all this free stuff? Like, so there's 44,000 students out of 130,000, which are means tested, and they're eligible for it. But the richest parents, they pay nothing.
So, Ivan, as you know, budgets are all about political choices, right? That's just the way it is, as well as financial constraints and whatever it happens. And as a result of that, we put forward every year a fully costed alternative budget. And you can take a look at it from our previous one, and we'll be putting one forward again. I spent, I think, 3 years in public expenditure before this, where we where I was totally participated in putting forward that alternative budget. It is about political choices. But what we have is a situation whereby there's total and utter confusion now from government. Like Fianna Fáil seem to be saying one thing, Fine Gael seem to be saying the other thing. And the problem here is there is no clarity for the students
there's
themselves
confusion?
And their families.
Fair charge or not?
I think so. I think it's a fair charge. And I think what we're seeing now, which I find the most interesting, is that we're noticing a pattern develop within this new coalition of these rifts forming. So we see, Fianna Fáil come out with something controversial. We've seen it with the housing czar previously, where they come out and say, look, we need a housing activation office. We're going to appoint someone to lead it. And then, you know, Fine Gael come out and they're against it all of a sudden. So I understand, that these things are exciting and they're interesting for people to read. But actually, from the coalition's perspective, it's not the best image for them going forward in relation to all of this. We saw, Jack Chambers having to firefight the Sock Dems, Sinn Féin, during the week, all asking similar questions around
and that,
all of
the
this.
Lack of cohesion. Who do you blame for it?
It's interesting. I think that Fine Gael seem to be reaping the benefits at the minute because, I mean, we saw, Maeve as well came out with a video this week, pointing out that she will be, going after the minister to ensure that we're going to see this reduction in fees. We saw press releases out from Fine Gael that they are for, this reduction in student fees. So they seem to be reaping the benefit. And I can tell you now, Fianna Fáil are very unhappy.
I was part of a rainbow government, right, back before you were born in the mid 90s. And the truth of it is that John Bruton sat me down in the beginning. He said, look, it's very simple. He said, it was very difficult circumstance where De Ross and Spring had come into. And he said, whatever they want, be nice to them and give it to them, because the better the government do as a cohesive unit, the better we as the largest party of government could do. I actually think it's a zero-sum game, all this infighting and voicemails to parliamentarians. Do you understand? It just takes from what the hell is going on sort of thing. Do you get that point?
Exactly, the biting back and forth. I think over time, it's not going to reap the benefits that they want. It's easy fodder for the opposition to come in and bite back. We saw that this week. We saw with the housing czar a similar situation. So I think, over time, people are going to notice this pattern a bit more, and it's not going to look good come
it's
the next
election.
It's
confusing, and a confused mind doesn't buy. I honestly think it's just bad.
Now, can I come back in
yes,
on that?
Yes,
because
of
a lot
course,
of points
yes,
have been made
Maeve.
There.
Yes, yes.
Like, it is a coalition. We are different parties. We do have different priorities. But this is one of the things which we are agreed on, because this is in the programme for government. And I think it is my job as a backbencher to hold all the ministers to account on their commitments. And I'd like to point out, this was done in the last coalition as well. Jim O'Callaghan was constantly holding Minister Helen McEntee, who is doing a brilliant job now in education, to account. And he actually got rewarded and got her job.
So you're saying sniping is good?
No, I'm saying we should all have a duty to hold our ministers to account. All of us.
But you don't
Doyle,
feel any
exactly
sort of collegiate loyalty to a Fianna Fáil minister, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that this is something that's in the programme for government, and I've been very clear that I would like to see it as one of the options that he puts into his submission.
Okay, big ticket
can
item.
Can I just say one thing on that? Right. I don't care about infighting within government. It makes no odds in my life at all. And I think it makes no odds in the life of most people. I think the issue for me really is just to have the clarity on what exactly is going to happen. I mean, the thing is, it's in the programme for government, but the line minister seems to be saying it's not happening. So, like, that causes confusion.
It's not clear.
And it means that people can't plan. Like, over the summer months, you want to be able to plan if your child's going to college. You probably don't know where exactly they're definitely going to go for college because of the CAO process. So then you don't know how much money you're going to be spending anyway in terms of accommodation or trying to find accommodation.
There is a genuine timing issue.
So this is an issue.
Okay.
Just needs to be sorted.
Let's talk about housing insofar as couple of things happening. James Brown has announced a league table of local authorities. Now, I've called for a league table for everything, because in Dunleary, they had the count completed by the Saturday. In Cavan, they didn't have a first count until well into the Sunday. So I'd have a league table for everything. But the league table has been published here for housing. Worst in class. Donegal, 46%, best in class, overachieving Laois, followed by Meath and Wicklow and so on. And I think this is really instructive. But the thing I wanted to raise with you is Dublin City, where the most, like, I'm staying in town now for doing this show. I saw three homeless people, you know, in sleeping bags just off Townsend Street. It's as bad as ever. Like, Dublin City being only producing half of the houses that was agreed by the city council. It's pretty poor, isn't it?
The thing is, and I kind of had to laugh at your joke about the league tables and terms of counting votes. I think housing is a bit more complex than saying that, you know, I just feel this is a bit of a gimmick. Like, it's a bit more complex in terms of delivering of housing than just saying, oh, this council is achieving it or not. Like, Donegal, you're saying, is worse in class. I assume Donegal would have one of the poorest situations in terms of access for infrastructure, in terms of having service sites. If you look at South Connemara, for example, the council has no service sites in terms of access to water, sewerage and that kind of thing. I would imagine Donegal is probably pretty similar. So for them to be able to deliver...
That's an issue of forward planning. I was a member of a local authority for 20 years. Having an orderly land back is only good planning.
It's absolutely, but you need to have the resources in order to be able to ensure that there's the water and the storage facilities. Like, if you take the islands, for example, like in terms of water, but if you take those rural areas, like Irish Water has been calling for investment, has been asking for more money in order to be able to invest when it comes to the likes of, you know, water.
Galway underperformed 71% in the city.
Yeah, but if you take Galway City as a perfect example, right? If you take Galway as an absolutely perfect example, both within the city and the county. So I've mentioned the county in terms of the service sites in the likes of South Connemara. If you then take Galway City, right? I live in Galway City. I live in east side of Galway City, place called Merview. East side of Galway City, we were hoping to see the delivery while I was on the council, that delivery of houses in a place called Ordon. We do not have the storage capacity in order to deliver the housing there. So when you say Galway City Council is underperforming, right, they don't have that.
It's Irish Water.
And then there's another problem whereby there's a huge land bank that is impacted by whether the ring road's going ahead or not.
Just before we come, Maeve, to you on this, let's just hear the Minister.
Between 2022 and 2024, you have the likes of Laois coming in at 189% of their overall target. Meath also performing very well, coming in at 169% of their target. At the other end of the scale, you have Dublin City Council coming in at 49%.
My bad, it was actually Sean Defoe, my old mucker, rather than James Brown. What's your take on this, Maeve?
This is a very simple objective that the government is trying to achieve, just in increasing accountability and transparency around what is being delivered at each local level. And as you've said yourself, you're a fan of transparency, you're a fan of clarity around these areas. So I think this will just add to it. And it'll prompt those real local conversations, which we're having here now in terms of Galway, around what are the challenges there, so we can try and deliver the homes locally where the actual local demand is.
How do you think the new Minister, James Byrne, is doing? Because everyone I speak to in government is bad-mouthing him behind his back. What do you say?
Well, I think he's introduced a number of new measures to try and address this. So just going through some of them, we've a revised national planning framework. We have a new housing activation office. We have a new on-board Planola, whose name I can never remember because it's that brand new. And all of these are about Commission Planola.
Yeah.
And all of these are designed to try and deal with the blockages that Mairead was talking about there, to try and deliver new housing. So we've recognised that there's infrastructure issues. We've recognised that there's planning issues there. So all of these initiatives are designed to do that. We've discussed previously that rental pressure zones, and now we have this list, and we've also extended applications for planning permissions where there's been potentially delays occurred.
Where are we on
reviews.
John Cummins' exemption on the log cabins? Is that enacted yet?
That's in the process as well. So again, you've just highlighted another
before
area.
Before the Dáil recess?
I'll have to check with John about that. So, and I'll have to check the Dáil schedule for the next 2 weeks about that. But it just shows you that there's another thing that I didn't mention myself that you're aware of. So there's a range of measures that have been taken within the first couple of months of this government to try and address all of these issues.
The whole credibility of the government in terms of, you know, 41,000, the outturn for last year was not what Dara said it was going to be during the election. How do you think the new government is getting on housing?
I think that it's kind of trying to bombard people with these announcements and trying to, you know, set up various, you know, task forces and various groups that kind of give the impression that action is being taken. I suppose we really won't know whether all of these, you know, all of these measures are going to be a success until we see 300,000 homes built by 2030. And I mean, I think that's the measure that we really have to be focusing on.
The scores on the doors. It's like the CSO will say at the end of the day what the story is, and that'll actually be the verdict.
Exactly. And look, we also heard another announcement this week from James Brown, which is the standardisation of social homes. So what's going to happen there is there's a four-stage process in order for local authorities to get social housing up and running in their area. And this is going to be reduced down to a one-stage process, and it's going to be standardised design across all new developments in relation to social homes. That is one of the drastic options that is going to feature in this housing plan we're going to see sometime in September as well. A lot of what we're hearing, all these weekly announcements are going to feature in this housing plan. But again, for the moment, it's plans and task forces and groups.
A report isn't a result, all that.
Absolutely.
Mairead, do you want to come in on
Look,
that?
Look, to be honest, obviously we know that housing is an absolute and utter nightmare, and it is particularly an absolute and utter nightmare for those people that are in homelessness, facing homelessness, and I deal with a huge amount of women who have left domestic abuse or are trying to leave domestic abusive situations and don't have access to housing. Obviously, if anybody's listening, make sure the likes of Cope Galway, and there are supports out there. But so the realities of the impact of this housing crisis are horrendous. But there are two things that this government did that I just cannot understand. The changes in the tenant in situ scheme. The tenant in situ scheme is basically whereby if you get a notice to quit on your council list, if the house passes certain regulations and all that kind of thing, and if
Instead
the price
of being
is right,
evicted, you'd be
the
kept
council
there.
It can buy the house, right?
Yeah.
So it's a really good scheme in terms of stopping people entering homelessness. But they changed the way that works. They cut the funding for it in two senses. In one sense, now the councils actually have to pay for everything inside the house, say, that happens. But also then, if you are, and this is somebody I'm dealing with at the moment, an older woman who doesn't have kids in the house with her, then you're excluded from it. And then you're not within the tenant in situ scheme. The tenant in situ scheme basically is full for most counties at this point in time. So doing that was a horrendous decision. And I raised it several times in the chamber with the minister. And I was like, Minister, you know this. Like, it's not like you can deny that this is the impact.
My understanding is Deeper did sums on what these were going to cost over the next 20 years.
And what about the impact on all these people that are now facing homelessness?
Yeah.
What about the impact of and paying for the emergency accommodation, but also the real-life human impact? And I think because the housing crisis is going on so long, we're all becoming a bit desensitised to the actual real-life human impact on people.
Big ticket item next week, and I hear it's not going great today, and that is the outcome of the trade talks between the EU and the US. Pascal was in studio yesterday, and this is what he had to say about the impact of the tariffs.
So I think an agreement is possible, but not certain. I think you make a fair point that it does appear that we are moving into a world in which the baseline tariffs that are applied to goods that are going into the United States is significantly higher for America and therefore for the world than before President Trump took office for the second time.
And the minister went on to say two things. One was that corporation tax would decline. And secondly, that 75,000 jobs that could have been created may not be created. These are worrying times, Maeve.
Well, they are certainly interesting times, as is also a phrase that is used. But I thought it was quite positive that the EU commissioner that was over in doing the negotiations this week, his statement this morning, that is, we found, had a productive week of meetings. No agreement, but I would take that very positively. And we have until the 17th of July to reach agreement.
Well,
and I'd still
be
quite positive
on that.
It's the 9th of July.
It's next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, but he came away from that. No final solution, but a productive week of
meetings. Well, see, the downside of this, if they don't reach a deal, it's 50%. And secondly, the EU's reprisals of 95 billion really are bringing into the firing line a lot of things like bourbon, which will affect Irish whiskey, and it's just tit for tat. Like, that would be a disaster. Like, no deal is the worst outcome of all, surely.
Of course it is. But until we get to that point, we have to be productive and we have to keep working towards getting a deal and trying to get the carve-outs for the industries that have been identified. That seems to be of mutual benefit to all the parties, like pharmaceuticals, which is core in our industry here in Ireland as well. So I don't think it's also helpful to be scaremongering until we know where we stand.
Keep sleepwalking, is that the point?
Not keep sleepwalking. No, I would be saying to every business, be sensible. And we do know that investment in business has gone down because there's a wait and see.
Yeah.
So hopefully by the end of this week, we will have more certainty so businesses can reinvest and can move forward, because that creates obviously job certainty for everybody as well.
Claire, most Sundays you have a little scoop for us. Are you picking up, as I did from Pascal, that really they want to reassert the authority of the Department of Finance coming up to the October budget, insofar as he's sort of saying, like with college, all things are off the table until we agree them part of the budget. You know, there was a 5% spending cap last government, which they never stuck to. So they haven't put a spending cap yet in place. This year's particular expenditures is well over, it's 3.9 billion up. So what are you hearing in terms of the budget sort of foreplay music?
I think, you know, we're waiting to see the summer economic statement as well. I think we'll have a very clear idea of what's going to happen once we see that. There is going to be big spending, from what I can tell, that we're going to see in the National Development Plan.
But that's capital.
There's going to be a review and that's going to... when it comes to current spending, look, we know we're not going to get this cost of living package. I mean, Pascal, the Taoiseach, Taoiseach have been out... no matter what has been thrown at them, they've been very clear. We're not going to see the level of, you know, double child benefits, the various measures we've seen over the last, couple of budgets, most notably because we don't have an election coming up,
absolutely,
I would imagine.
Yeah.
But look, I do think there is going to be one or two things in there. We heard from the Taoiseach speaking to the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party early in the week saying that, look, we're not... you know, completely forgetting about people. There are going to be one or two things in there, but I look, it's going to be very revised. It's going to be pared back. And I think, Sinn Féin will obviously make hay with the fact that people aren't going to be getting the level of cost of living measures that they need, given we know that, you know, prices are endlessly going
up. Particularly food prices.
Yeah.
All right. Yesterday on the show, we had James Elder, who's the global spokesperson from UNICEF. He's based in Geneva, but he's just back from Gaza. And he had this to say about the aid situation.
If we look at looting, firstly, you know, looting is the economics of scarcity. Looting is if you have Dublin and you allow nothing in it for 90 days other than bombs, and then you send in two trucks down the same route, it's a roadside distribution. People will take what they need, it'll go. So at this point, we're having people being starved and then being blamed, you know, for scrambling for survival. It's horrendous the way that the people are pushed, the limits they're pushed to.
57,000 Gazans killed to date, and obviously... the point he was making is that the Israeli-American distribution of aid system, replacing the previous system with 170 NGOs, is just not working. Mairead?
Well, I was listening to an interview this morning by a man who was explaining about a man who'd lost two of his children in Gaza to malnutrition and who had gone to try and get food for his other children. And when he went there, he was shot at. He survived. He got no food. What we are seeing is undoubtedly a genocide. But to see this unfolding in front of our eyes, and the fact that the international community is unable and in a lot of parts unwilling to actually step in and do something about this is shocking. You know, we all can look back at history and look at horrific events that have happened in the course of history and think to ourselves, oh, well, you know, if things were different, if this was the way society was now, it would step in. But we're seeing it now.
But as we learned from the EU summit, like all of that has been said, and yet there were 9 member states who said, no, we're not going to change the Israeli-EU trade deal. I mean, like, are we wasting our time?
No, we're absolutely not wasting our time. It is absolutely crucially important that we use our voice as strongly as possible in defence of the people of Gaza and standing up for what is right. It is always important to do that. It is also important to try and get other people on board in relation to that. I also think it is crucially important that we include services in the Occupied Territories Bill. At the end of the day, that accounts for 70% of trade. And when the highest court in the world, the ICJ, talks about trade, they include both services, goods and services in relation to that. Not only is it important to do it morally, it is also important to, you know, if we put our heads above the parapet and step up in relation to that, there are other countries then that will see, okay, Ireland has done that, we can do that as well.
So services not included in the revised Occupied Territories Bill, Maeve?
Well, first I just want to agree with Mairead and everybody else that what's happening there is absolutely off, and the UN actually called it this week, which I thought was very, very accurate, that it's weaponized hunger. And I would totally agree with that in terms of these new aid distributions. So that is something that we need to work with and try and get addressed. There's very little aid getting in as it was. And now it's being turned into this, and it's absolutely horrific. It's taking.
Are you hopeful of a ceasefire? Trump has talked up 30, 60 days. Are you hopeful of that?
There was a ceasefire in January. I thought that gave everybody a bit of hope, and I think it's the only way forward. And whoever can make that happen, I think we need to try and support them to do that. The EU foreign ministers will be meeting in a couple of weeks' time, and I think that'll be a crucial meeting in terms of trying to bring more of our European partners on board to what has been the Irish position from the very first day, that this invasion was wrong, that it has resulted in genocide, and hopefully we can get action on that now.
Claire, to conclude, we've 30 seconds left, which would be enough time for you to tell me who'll be our next president.
Ooh. Well, look, I think, you know, Mairead McGuinness is the most likely candidate that we have putting themselves forward at the minute. But I mean, who knows? I mean, Joe Duffy, everyone is in the mix. Although I was speaking to a Fianna Fáil the other day who said any of the names you see out at the moment are very unlikely to appear on the ballot paper, which I found.
Ivan,
that's I apologise.
No,
I should have left.
Of course, Ivan. Yeah.
Quarter of a million. Please. I wouldn't get out of bed for that. Full-time job, please.
But it's such a nice house.
A nice broad left candidate in Ivan Yates. I see it. Indeed. I can do the branding.
I'd buy that. All right. My sincere thanks to Maeve O'Connell, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown, Mairead Farrell, frontbench spokesman for Sinn Féin and Galway West TD, and saying Mairead McGuinness, despite the Irish Times today, might be the next president, Claire Scott, political correspondent. Thank you one and all. A reminder that all our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search The Pat Kenny Show. My thanks to all the team who made this look reasonably credible. Editor Emer Bradley, producer Niamh Dunn, researchers Cian Burns, Dylan Hand and Alex Alcala. Broadcast assistant was Anne-Marie Kane. Cormac McDonough was on sound.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.